Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Tech Advantage, a podcast from the Luxembourg Institute of Science and Technology. Do you remember this? If you do, then you'd know how far we've come in terms of mobile technology. From the simple functionality of voice calling outside your home to enabling self-driving cars, the Gs, or the generations of wireless networks, have evolved enormously over time, with each new generation bringing significant advancements in terms of speed, capacity, and connectivity capabilities. Today, to talk about these evolutions and future perspectives, we have with us Sébastien Fay, 6G Technology and Innovation Line Manager here at List. Hi, Sébastien.
Hi.
Welcome to Tech Advantage. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation.
Thank you again for the invitation.
Today we will talk about everything that has to do with wireless, wireless technology. Now, from 1G to 5G, it has taken almost 30 years. What was the 1G all about? I mean, where did it come about?
It's a very big effort worldwide to define a generation, right? To make these new network technologies there available on the market. So if you have a look a bit at all the steps that need to be done, right, to define a generation, it takes quite a lot of time because you need to research the technologies, you need to standardize them, you need to release them to the market. It's a continuous effort, but it was easier, let's say, for the industry to release that through what we call now generations.
And what is it basically? What do you mean by a generation? So when was it, by the way, 1G?
So I think it all started around 40 years ago, basically, with the release of the first generation. And at that time, again, it was quite a revolution for the general public because for the first time, you had the ability to make a call while you were driving, for instance.
Yes, the car phones, right? The
ones that you indeed, quite big. I mean, we were not talking about smartphones. We were not talking
Yes.
All the things we have today. It was quite big.
Yes.
But still, it was a revolution because, for people that were driving quite a lot, it was a good way to just make phone calls. And so after this generation, we had other generations. So with different functionalities, coming. So for instance, the appearance of short text messages so the idea is that from 1G to 4G, we had key network technologies that have been implemented. These previous generations, I think they were mostly, focused on increasing the data rates. So that you have a lower latency, you have better performances, let's say.
Can you tell me in some layman's term how the technology, 4G, let's take 4G, how does it work, basically? So you have what? It's kind of a support system, an infrastructure. What is it, really?
What is it concretely? So
yes.
I think so. I mean, we can talk about 4G, about 5G. I think this is more or less the same. You basically have radio nodes, so transmitters that are deployed all over the territory, all around the cities. So there, network operators are deploying these antennas, right? That are most of the time on top of a building, on top of a pylon, etc. So this is what we call a base station. So the a transmitter with connected to a source of power and the units to manage the requests that are receiving the transmitter and then send this request somewhere. So this is what we call a base station, basically. You have base stations a bit everywhere, right? What we can see today is that these transmitters, these base stations, they are becoming not smaller and smaller, but the deployments are denser, basically, than before. So now for the general public, this means that when you go out of your place, then you can easily see an antenna, right? I mean, it was not possible before. I mean, it was possible before, but basically with the first generations, the antennas, the base stations were deployed most of the time out of cities, right? Like in rural areas and so on. Now, the fact is that we have more and more demand for mobile communication, so we need to deploy more and more antennas. And this is becoming visible. So this is one part of the infrastructure. But then, of course, the information transiting through these antennas, they need to go. This needs to go through data centers through what we call the core infrastructure of the network, the core network. And there this is hosted in data centers in specific places that are managed by the mobile network operators. So it's basically it, right? Then we could go into the details, but I think this is more or less it. So you have the radio part, and then you have the core network part. So what we call the radio access network, and then the core network.
Yeah.
And then you have several elements in between, but this is more or less it. The only specific aspect with 5G is that so most of the 5G infrastructure, let's say the current version of 5G we have in Luxembourg and also in many countries in Europe, let's say, is what we call 5G NSA, so non-standalone, which means that the radio part is 5G and the core network part, let's say, so what we were discussing before, is 4G. So it's not a full 5G compliant network, not yet. Meaning that you can benefit from some functionalities, but not all the functionalities.
Okay.
So this is the main, this is the status as of today.
If I ask you, what is the one key advantage of 5G over 4G?
One key aspect, it's a bit challenging to cite only one, right?
Or the key aspects.
Yeah, so now with 5G, so when this has been designed, I think it was like more than 10 years ago, three different use cases, three different usage scenarios have been designed. So first, mobile broadband. So improving again, the speed, basically, the throughput from the network. Then the latency. So latency is also quite important. So this is
what is latency?
It's basically the delay, the reactivity, let's say, of the network. So let's imagine you have a connected car. If you have an autonomous car, that only relies on a 5G network to take its decisions, then you want a very low latency so that it's secured. So this is also true in industrial manufacturing, for instance, where you have robots, for instance, managing different processes. So that's the second use case. And the third use case, it's about massive IoT deployment. So it's not necessarily a reality today, but we know it might be a reality tomorrow. We will have more and more sensors, devices deployed a bit everywhere, for instance, for smart city applications, that kind of things. And there we need the right networks to accommodate all these sensors. So the idea with this third use case is that 5G networks could accommodate a large number of devices. So I can cite an example because maybe we need a specific example there. So
yes, because you can see my eyes going.
yeah, indeed. So when I say IoT application, so for instance, we were working recently on an FNR project called Plume. So there, the idea of Plume is to propose a platform for smart waste management. So the idea is basically to deploy IoT sensors into waste bins so that you can, you can have data, so that you can have filling level data in real time, or less in real time. And then the idea for waste collection companies is to optimize, the way they are collecting waste based on this kind of information. So when I speak about IoT, it's about this kind of application. And I guess we have tons of different applications and services, projects dealing with that. At least I heard a previous episode of the podcast talking about IoT, or it was you,
me, yes.
So basically, IoT, it's a very large keyword, let's say. I mean, it's a keyword that is quite large. But the idea behind is that we will have more and more of these applications in the future, and there we will need the network to accommodate all this.
And so these IoT devices will use the 5G, 6G, whatever network is in place.
At the moment, IoT devices, they are using different network technologies. Some of them are using NB-IoT, for instance, which is based on LTE, 4G. But then you have other network technologies like Sigfox, LoRa. So at the moment, it's a bit distributed. You have different technologies to accommodate maybe different needs but the idea with 5G, the initial idea of 5G was to provide a way to move forward, right? To go beyond the capacity provided by these networks.
I know that there are lots of research projects going on at NIST here on wireless technologies. If you could just give me a short overview of which projects are currently going on.
Okay, so we have many projects. I cannot cite all of them. But I mean, if I had to, I can categorize a bit the projects, right? On my side, I like to say that we are working on two main pillars. The first pillar is about 5G itself, about the adoption and the evolution of this network technology. Because so far, what we have seen is that, 5G is there, it's available, not fully. Because as I told you, we are still waiting for the 5G standalone version, let's say, to be commercially released. But the main issue so far, in my opinion, is the lack of use cases, right? I think for the first time, 5G is now way more focused on business to business, on B2B use cases. So we have been talking about many things like connected and automated mobility, about industry 4.0, about smart cities, many applications that can benefit from 5G. But if you see the reality, at least in Luxembourg and also in Europe, you only have a few of these use cases really implemented.
Exactly.
So one of our mission is really to try to push for that, right? To try to not necessarily push for the technology. I mean, we are vendor neutral in any case. You know, we are a research and technology organization. The mission is to define, to test, to implement new applications that can rely on 5G or any kind of new network technologies. So you were citing Wi-Fi. There also you have new versions of Wi-Fi that will be released soon. So it's quite
new versions of Wi-Fi.
This is happening very regularly. We have new versions also of Wi-Fi that are being released. So I mean, our role and our objective is to try to not to define, because most of these use cases are already known, but to support the industry in implementing these new use cases. And on the other side, so still focusing on 5G and new wireless technologies, the idea is also to discuss with the general public, right? Because what we have seen so far is that there is a fear of these technologies. Or maybe the general public do not always understand how these technologies can be used, let's say. So there our objective is also to create demonstrators, to create, to participate in different events, for instance, to explain, what can be done there with 5G. So that's the first pillar, let's say, the evolution and the adoption of 5G. Because whatever we are talking about, if this generation, if the current network technologies are not a success, then we cannot even talk about, 6G, which is then the second pillar. So the second pillar is more concentrated on 6G research, right? So there the idea is that, as I told you at the beginning, so each generation takes on average 8 to 10 years to be defined. So this means that for 6G, this has already started. So at the moment, we are mostly doing research on 6G. So trying to elaborate a new concept, let's say, new models that could then be integrated into the commercial 6G that will be available in a few years' time. So I think we are talking about, about 2030 for a release of 6G. And then we are already working there. And this involves quite a lot of research topics. So for instance, optimization, security. We have different topics. And so then I can cite a few projects, if you like. So for 5G adoption and evolution, so we had this 5G emit project, for instance, that just ended. And now we will start a follow-up called OptiWave. So the first project was co-funded by the Department of Media Connectivity and Digital Policy of the Luxembourg government. And now we have a follow-up project co-funded by the FNR. So there the idea was to study, the impact of the electromagnetic field exposed from 5G networks. You probably know that all wireless communication technologies are generating, an electromagnetic field, EMF, right? And this is, of course, a source of fear for the general public. But then this also means that, as network operator, you also need to take care of that, right? You also need to be careful with this EMF exposure. So, of course, it's all regulated. So when you want to deploy a 5G antenna, for instance, you need to go through a regulator. You have official EMF limits in Luxembourg. And since 5G is now implementing an active antenna technology, which is quite different from what we had before with 4G and so on, this topic is important. So there in this project, we basically deployed sensors in Belval to measure the variation of this EMF exposure for 5G technology specifically. We also propose the platform, and now the platform will be the subject of a JUMP project, basically, again, co-funded by the FNR, where we will try to release it on the market. So that's an example of project for 5G.
Before going into the 6G bit of our conversation, I had two questions. One, you already started answering yourself about the, you know, EMF and health risks, let's say. One of the questions was related to that. So partly you have answered that it's regulated and that there is research going on. What other health risks are associated with 5G or even when the new 6G comes out?
So, I mean, I'm not a health expert, right? Yeah. So I cannot answer formally. On my side, I have been working on EMF exposure, which is a super big topic. So there, what I can say is that over all the measurements we have done, on average, we are a few hundred times below the regulatory limit.
Okay.
And the regulatory limit in Luxembourg is quite, and in Europe as well, is quite conservative in the sense that, it's there to protect people. So what we see, what we have seen, you know, through the different measurements we have done, is that, we are way below this regulatory limit again. And then I think this is the main risk, right? So EMF exposure, because we are talking about wireless technologies. So then, of course, I'm just talking about the infrastructure. Probably we need also to be careful with our own devices. Sometimes I discuss with people that have a fear, you know, of this infrastructure, but you know, they all have their smartphone in their pocket,
their pockets,
for instance. So,
yes.
And I'm sure their smartphone is emitting more EMF, right?
Than
the network infrastructure. But then again, this needs to be tested, and there are tons of studies available in the market. On our side, we really just focused on the network infrastructure. And there, the idea was really to help the network operators, the regulators, the general public, the municipalities in finding a common way, let's say, to optimize, you know, the deployment of 5G technologies and so on.
The next part was security, privacy concerns and security concerns. So what are the concerns really, and how are you dealing with those concerns?
Of 5G then?
Yes, now, yeah.
So for now. With 5G, we have many new technologies that have been implemented in comparison to 4G. And I think one big change is the implementation of software-defined functionalities, let's say. So now the idea is that operators can create multiple virtual networks with different service characteristics over a common physical infrastructure. So I see your eyes, so I need to go into details there. So the idea is that before, well, you had, your antennas, you had, for instance, for 4G, you, as an end user, you just connect to the existing infrastructure and that's it. Now with 5G, the idea is to, if you have a physical infrastructure in place, then you have the possibility as an operator to decompose this physical infrastructure virtually. So, for instance, we can imagine in Belval, let's say a 5G infrastructure, say that, okay, let's create two slices. One slice for the general public, so that they can get access to the services, have phone calls, and so on and so forth. And then let's create another slice for,
for a business.
Business, for instance,
yeah,
or
okay,
for connected mobility, so that you can dedicate a part of your infrastructure to these services. So, and all that, it's allowed through virtualization, through all the things that have been implemented in 5G.
And that will securize that, for example, one slice more than the other. Is that the idea?
I mean, the security then, it's an, I mean, yeah, because this was the initial question. So the idea is that now we have all these virtualization, these programmability aspects that come with 5G. So this means that in terms of security, it's quite a big challenge. Because the number of attacks, the number of issues you can have, of course,
is also greater.
Indeed. Yeah. We have a specific team there in ITIS that deals with security and privacy in general, so the trust group, and they have expertise there on network security, so trying to predict, you know, potential attacks happening on a network. We also have a project there called 5G Insight. So it's a collaborative project in between between France and Luxembourg. So an ANR FNR project, and we are also dealing, you know, with this kind of security issues. So, but so far, yeah. I mean, again, I'm not a security expert, but what I see is since the technology now is wider, let's say, somehow, then of course the number of attacks, the number of issues you can face, it's also wider. But so far, I mean, all that has been studied, all that, you know, so we, I mean, the population is safe, huh? No major concern there.
LIST is coordinating a project which is called the 6G Twin Project. So if you could just tell us a little bit about what it is, basically, and why 6G Twin?
Okay, so I have many things to say. First about 6G,
yes,
right?
And then
so,
the twin part.
Yeah, and then the twin part, and then the project. Okay.
Okay.
So for 6G itself, I think it's important to, because, you know, usually when we talk about 6G, I mean, I see also big eyes, right? like yours, because people are not ready necessarily, right? I mean, again, we are talking about, a commercial release for 2030, maybe a bit after. So it's, it's in a few years, right? But one important thing. So, I mean, of course, with 6G, we will have better performances in comparison to 5G, to the other generations. So we are talking about a better network reliability, about better data rates, latency, and so on. But I don't think this is the main revolution. I think, so when we are talking about all these networks, about, the way we are using wireless connectivity today, I mean, what we know for sure is that by 2030, the amount of data will increase a lot. I think the factor is 10 times maybe. So we will need these networks, you know, to
support the
we need to send this data through networks, right? So we need better performances so that we accommodate all that. But this means then that the networks themselves, they will become more and more complex to manage. We will have more and more bigger and bigger infrastructures. We will have more and more antennas deployed. And so for me, 6G, the main novelty is the integration of artificial intelligence so that we can, let's say, automate the management, the control of these networks. Because today there are still quite a lot of operations that are done manually, you know, to manage a network. But there the idea is really to automate the different processes, the different... So for instance, for energy, you know, for energy efficiency, we could imagine distributing the resources, the load over a network so that you increase the overall energy efficiency. Then the second aspect is the fact that 6G is seen as a network of networks. So we were previously talking about IoT, about, we can also talk about satellite communication, about many different types of communication. The idea behind 6G is to try to aggregate a bit all that, right? So that you end up with one unique network for managing different types of communication, not only terrestrial, but also non-terrestrial and for different use cases. So that's still a bit theoretical, even if you have a few companies that are indeed starting to work on this. But this is one other topic with 6G. So
the 6G idea of 6G is to really go beyond terrestrial.
Yes, indeed. It's one idea. And so that you have a more inclusive network. And there, of course, you see the interest. So this means that all the not covered area, so let's say, even outside Luxembourg, then you could benefit from satellite connectivity to go there. And then you have this topic, so network digital twinning. So let's imagine tomorrow you integrate AI as core component of your network.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to train your AI models, right? You need to perform quite a lot of operations before the AI models can actually operate some parts of your network. So the idea of a digital twin in general, you know, it's to, I guess you are familiar with this concept.
Kind of.
So the idea there is really to create a digital clone, of an existing system. So network digital twinning, it's basically about doing it, but for a network. So there the idea will be to create a real-time replica of a network so that you can use it as an environment, as a sandbox, let's say, to test, optimize different scenarios before applying them in the reality.
Okay.
Okay, so this is really about that. So instead of performing all your operations directly live on the network, then the idea would be really to have this
permanently, there will be this digital twin. Okay.
Then you have different approaches. So, I mean, you can create it on the fly, or you can do it per. I mean, this is what we need to research now, right?
Right.
How to make this a reality? Because so far, I mean, we have seen quite a few papers. There are also a few reference documents from the International Telecommunication Union, for instance. But so far, I mean, yeah, no. I think we need to go to the next step, which means that we need to actually test this. We need to formalize this concept for scientifically, I mean, and then implement it, test it, and go for a few demonstrators, right? And this is all the idea behind 6G Twin, so a project that started very recently, a European project that started very recently.
It's a Horizon Europe project, right?
Yes. So this project has been funded by the Smart Networks and Services Joint Undertaking, SNSGU, under the Horizon Europe program. So in this project, we will release an open source simulation framework. We will work also with local partners in Luxembourg, so Proximus is fully part. Proximus Luxembourg is fully part of this project. And of course, the idea is also to make links with standardization bodies, right? So the concept of network digital twinning is quite new, but the objective there is really not to work in an isolated way. So we will create links with other projects. And this is actually an excellent opportunity to become visible on this topic and have a real impact on the definition and implementation of 6G. We are planning two different use cases in the project. One which is more related to mobility management, the
right.
Other which is more related to energy efficiency. So there again, the idea would be to use this digital twin as a way to test, you know, different scenarios before you apply them. So it can be in live, it can be in real time, or you can also use it for predicting, you know, what could happen in your network, and then use it as a way to better plan. You know, the things to be deployed, for instance, in your network.
Yeah. So concretely speaking, the application of 6G, how is it going to be different from 5G?
I think 6G will enable quite a few use cases that are not there today, at least that are not feasible with 5G. So if you see a bit the key performance indicators behind 5G, so for instance, latency, I think we are still talking about a few milliseconds. So with 6G, we are talking about less than 1 millisecond of latency, which
right.
means that you can actually really rely on your network to help you taking decisions. So for instance, in the case of an autonomous vehicle,
yeah.
you can imagine that the autonomous vehicle is just a big sensor, right, that send information through the 6G network and then maybe through different nodes, different systems, different units that all take a decision for the vehicle,
yeah.
And then the information or the decision, let's say, is going back to the vehicle. So the idea with 6G is that you can really imagine decentralized architectures, let's say, decentralized systems. And of course, this can reduce the cost, this can enable different applications. Because, I mean, even with 5G, we already had that a bit. So if you have a look at the different use cases behind 5G, it was already considered that, you know, for instance, a vehicle could use an edge node, for instance. So, you know, I mean, a node located not so far from the vehicle to take a decision. But now with 6G, I think this is the next level. So the idea is really to benefit from all the infrastructure that can then collegially take a decision for the end user. So I'm not sure if it's very clear in the way I'm explaining it.
Kind of.
Okay.
But it is.
The idea is really to benefit from a network. From
less reaction time.
Yeah, less reaction time. More
cost effectiveness, yeah.
Cost effectiveness, energy efficiency,
yeah.
Higher quality of service, and then again, there are tons of use cases that can benefit from that. So autonomous systems in general, all systems that are relying on AI, you know, you will not need to have all the AI stack directly deployed on the system, but then it can be deployed at different parts of the network. Then we can imagine use cases related to telemedicine, remote surgery, smart cities, IoT, industrial automation, again, for enhancing the processes in
right.
a manufactory, for instance. And then, if you are interested by the topic, there are so many initiatives, including European initiatives like EXA-X, for instance, and EXA-X2. They somehow standardized a bit. I mean, they did not standardize, but they tried to list the kind of use cases that could benefit from 6G. And then you have quite a few projects around Europe that are managing that, that are trying to get a vision of 6G.
And what are we're looking at 2030?
2030,
implementation of
more or
the
less.
Network.
This is the current timeline.
I just have a last question. What are the future perspectives? I mean, somebody asked me once, not asked me, we're talking, and this person said, so where do the G's end?
Yeah.
What do you think? It's like, is it going to be like Apple, where it doesn't stop?
Then every iPhone? 10 years you have a new...
every 5 years or 10 years there's a new...
No, I mean, I think then, there are more and more people that are talking as 6G as the last generation, right? Because then we will be reaching a kind of glass ceiling,
right.
In the way the technology evolves. And I guess if this generation is now integrating AI and very advanced concepts, then it will be a continuous improvement, right? We will not need anymore this generation concept. But then maybe it will continue. I mean, if you have a look at 7G, for instance, I already saw a few things there released on the internet. So, I mean, the most important in any case, so this should come from a need. Right. I mean, we should not work on new generations because...
just for the sake of it.
Yeah, voilà, indeed. Mm. For 5G, it was fully justified. For 6G, I really believe it's fully justified because, again, we see this increase of data. We see this need for new applications, for new services. So, again, we need the new networks that will accommodate all this. So I really think there is a need. But if we see tomorrow, after 6G, that there is no need anymore for a new generation, then this might be different. But, we will see that in the future, right?
You have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sebastian.
Thank
it was
you.
Lovely talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Thank you for everything.